All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm swell.
Swell. It's not sweltering.
Nah.
We've had a bit of a cool down.
Only a little.
Here in the New Jersey area. No,
here.
That rain helped.
However, hot stuff happening in other places.
Some terrible things happening elsewhere.
Yeah, really, really awful stuff.
Yeah, well, of course we're talking about
Spider-Man the movie. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry.
No, we are not talking about... You're not talking about Spider-Man.
No, of course we're talking about the tragedy of the shooting at the Batman Rises, Dark Knight Rises premiere in Colorado.
That's right. There's so many things about this that I want to address.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the dude was just stupid. Wanna open with that?
The dude was stupid.
Called himself the Joker, but painted him his hair red.
Okay. So, well, since you brought it up. Okay. So no incarnation that I know of was the Joker's hair red.
No.
With a handful of exceptions. I've heard the nurse sequence in the second Batman film with the red wig.
Was he dressed as the nurse?
No, exactly. So that's right out. I've heard that the Cesar Romero Joker switched back and forth between red and green hair.
No.
No, that is not true. Actually, what you're talking about, or what you think is red hair,
was
poor lighting, poor post-production.
Right.
And even, I would say, probably
color correction.
His hair was always green.
Yeah.
It appeared red in several
you know why?
Sequences.
Cesar Romero's a blonde. Was blondish.
Right.
You know, and so not a blonde, but he had blondish hair. And at that point, it was like grayish blondish hair.
Right.
So, you know, and it's just the way that lights work and the way color works and everything else.
Correct.
He did not have red hair.
That's correct.
He did, however, have a mustache, which he refused to shave.
Yes.
For the part. So they just cake makeup over it.
Yeah.
And you can see it clear as crystal.
Yeah.
It's really
funny. And then I heard, I don't remember what I was listening to or where I read it, but I think it was an interview with a comic shop owner. And it was kind of in passing.
Retailer X?
It was not Retailer X. And the owner said that there was some issue of some special where he had red hair.
I'm unaware of this.
But I know of no incarnation of the Joker that had red hair.
Right.
So let's get that out of the way.
So clearly he's insane.
Right. The guy's just an idiot.
Because he got the color wrong, clearly he's insane.
Yeah, that's it?
Not because he's walking in a theater with guns with and a gun body and arm and a gas mask. People, yeah. No, it's because he can't get the simple details correct.
I also find it very funny that when the story first broke, the news was trying to push it as he was dressed as Bane.
No, that he was dressed in body armor and a gas mask, and they attributed that to Bane because in the movie, Bane right. wears some sort of stupid ass mask,
right?
And body armor. So, right.
So that was an awful, terrible event. But you know, I mean, Christian Bale showed up at the hospital yesterday. That was,
Did you hear that? For a douchebag. Christian Bale kind of gained a few points with me.
Yeah, that was
huge.
That was really nice. And he showed up without any studio execs.
Nope.
At no one's behest but his own.
He just asked, where are they at?
He even asked the hospital, if you haven't read, he asked the hospitals to not alert the media.
Yeah.
The only way it leaked was because people started posting their own pictures. On Twitter, yep. Yeah.
And I heard he visited every one of them that was there.
Yep.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really huge. That is like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of him as a person.
Right.
I have enjoyed most of his performances.
Right.
But I mean, that in the people category, that's points.
Yeah.
That is definitely points. It's balls also because, it kind of irrevocably ties the movie into the,
I know it's
into the thing. I mean, what if the kid had got it wrong? Like, what if he had wandered into Spider-Man and right. Well, he probably wouldn't have hit anybody because no one was there. But the point is that you know it really. I think that was a class act move for a guy who is decidedly not class act.
He earned some points.
Yeah,
he's turning things around.
Yeah, and he's done.
That's it. Yeah. So.
Lot of fallout from that, of course.
A lot of fallout.
AMC theaters announcing you can no longer wear a costume,
right,
to any of their events or openings or anything. So it kind of gets the Harry Potter kids off the hook.
You know what? Well, on so many levels because they're over.
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting is who is going to police what is and is not a costume.
Well, you know.
So it's for example. It's easy if someone shows up dressed as Batman. Clearly a costume. Right.
But what if someone shows up
with black horn rimmed glasses, a red and yellow striped scarf,
uh-huh.
and a sweater?
I know the answer to this.
What?
They're gonna be disappointed.
Right, exactly.
Based on what they're gonna go right. see, they're gonna be disappointed.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
It'll be interesting to see.
What if you showed up with just big hairy feet?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Yeah. how that gets policed.
Sure. I thought you were going to say...
Considering AMC doesn't police any other rules.
I was about to say, because considering I can't sit in a movie theater at AMC where people are quiet.
Right.
I mean, then now they're going to police people? It's yeah. like...
Can't wait for the first gangster to show up dressed as a hobbit. And we'll see how quickly yeah. they police it.
See how that happens. But honestly, all kidding aside, it was a really terrible thing to have happen. And I feel bad for... Of course... We feel bad for the families and the victims' families
sure.
and the people who made it and all that stuff. We feel bad for the fact that, you know, people were injured and so on and so
Absolutely.
Forth. And it's like, you know, it's really, really a horrible, horrible thing. And I know everyone's waiting right now for me to turn this.
No, you're not going to.
But gonna. I'm not going to turn it. It's not. I'm being totally serious. I think it was a terrible, terrible thing that happened. And unfortunate because it kind of overshadowed anything really about the movie. You know, Warner Brothers didn't release the numbers.
Right.
So we don't even know what the opening...
No, I think they finally did.
Did they finally do? Because they said they weren't going to.
They were
going to
hold it till yesterday,
Oh,
I think.
Really?
Yeah, and I think
What was it?
I want to say it was 167.
That's it?
But I could be woefully off.
Well, they were looking at two.
Right.
So
right.
clearly this effect. So we have to, you know, we have to feel sorry also for, you know, maybe some of the filmmakers who,
sure.
who unfortunately have to deal with this issue as well.
And you know, there were some reactionary things. The French premiere was canceled.
Most of the premieres outside of the United States were canceled.
Which I'm going to say this, because what I'm going to lead into is the flip side of this. I think that was a smart, acceptable reaction to this,
right,
to cancel those premieres.
Right. As opposed to
that.
Yeah. So DC this week.
Do we want to play the stinger? Do we want to roll forward with the show? Or we're going to just want to cover it?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Geek stuff. What's in the news? So this week,
right,
DC sent out a notification. They asked comic retailers to pull Batman Incorporated number 3 from the shelves and hold it for a month.
For a month.
Right. Now, they said because there's a scene in there that is,
read the quote if you'd like.
Sure.
Batman Inc. number 3 is going to be delayed a month due to some grim imagery that would seem wholly inappropriate given the Aurora killings. The book is printed on time. I'm looking at a copy on my desk right now. This isn't a scheduling excuse. We're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, so it's really the first page where...
And this comes from artist Chris Burnham, who I believe worked on the book, actually. He works on the book?
Yeah, Chris Burnham is the artist of the book. So the first page of the book is... I can see where they're... We don't want to go into details about it, but the long and short of it is there's somebody holding a gun on a group of people.
Right.
And some language that may be reminiscent.
Right.
Of some other things. And so it's, you know, I can see where they did that. I can see why they did that. I don't necessarily agree with OG that it was a bad move to try. I got mine, so yeah. I guess everyone's not listening.
You know, I think...
I don't know of a retailer who held the book back.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't say that it was a bad idea to try. It just seemed like it's a bit...
Too soon?
No, it's a bit of a... I don't know. When things like this happen, I understand you have to do certain things and, you know, you have to write nasty letters to movie theaters because they didn't pull the trailer for Gangsta Squad, in case you didn't hear that.
Is the movie a Gangsta Squad?
Yeah, it's I don't even know who's in it. But okay. Anyway, there's a scene in the trailer with a guy shooting some people in a movie theater.
Oh my.
So that was pulled from the front of
gotcha.
The Dark Knight Rises. But this, I don't know, to me this seems like it's a bit of a stretch, and at some point you have to, I understand it's only over the course of the weekend, but you have to...
I think that they just don't want any more bad publicity around Batman.
Right,
so.
And so what would have happened was some overly zealous moron would have complained about this. So maybe I take back my statement. It was the right thing to do.
It probably was the right thing to do.
All right. Moving forward. I was going to say, I don't think we gave the episode title. Which we probably should
I don't think we did. I believe it's Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode. Is it
256?
256. And we're calling it insert. And what did we decide? Insert non-offensive title here, right?
Yes.
Because we did come up with a bunch of titles, all of which we seem to be able to 6 degrees into being insulting or insensitive. So we diverged into the, you can insert your own non-threatening, non-insulting title for this particular episode.
No frills.
That's it.
All right, Jurassic Park 4.
Still?
Moving forward.
Oh, man.
It's got a summertime 2014 hopeful release.
Oh, I'm busy.
And apparently there was some question as to whether or not this was a reboot or a sequel.
I
and
thought
it
they
is
squashed
a sequel.
That.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like it's still.
Did they
like
get what's his
thing.
Name? O'Neill.
I don't think O'Neill I've heard of the return of any of the original characters.
Okay,
that doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means that maybe it's not happening yet. All right. How about RoboCop?
Okay.
Jackie Earle Haley has been cast.
Don't say RoboCop.
No. Maddox, the man who trains Alex Murphy, who is RoboCop.
Right.
Who will be played by Joel Kinnaman.
Exactly. Who is Joel Kinnaman? No one knows.
Hey, look, but the rest of the cast, listen to the rest of this cast, though. Gary Oldman.
As?
Samuel L. Jackson, I don't know. Gary Oldman, Samuel L. Jackson, Hugh Laurie. In addition to Jackie Earle Haley.
We know Hugh Laurie is going to be the badass.
Right, we know that.
the Ronnie Cox role, right?
Right. So, I don't, Gary Oldman, Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson.
They needed somebody to say mother effort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why are there so many robots in this motherfucking movie? Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah, RoboCop still happening.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? So much. There's so much. How about Robert Orsi and Alex Kurtzman, who are working on the Star Trek sequel,
now say that the character played by Benedict Cumberbatch is actually Trelane.
They are working on a new TV series based on the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
A series based on that?
Series based on the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, hence
it is a modern day reimagining of the classic
Washington
Irving legend.
Boo.
Which will
it's one of my
feature,
favorite legends.
Right. Will feature Ichabod Crane teaming up with a female local sheriff to solve all manner of mysteries in their town. So it's like
Sherlock.
It's like Sherlock. It's like Bones. It's like supernatural.
It's
a little
like
bit.
The U.S. Sherlock.
Yeah, it's like Buffy.
It's the one like the one Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu. Yeah,
so
that one's coming out. Although the one I did hear about one, I don't know what it's called. It has Eric McCormick and and what's her name?
Oh shit,
Josie from Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes, what is that one called? Rachel Lee Cook is her
Rachel
name.
Rachel Lee Cook, and it's I can't remember. It's like. I don't think it's Revelation or it's on TNT.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I heard it's really, really good. It so I want to check it out.
I remember reading something about it in EW. And since we're talking about new TV series,
yes.
How about Dracula, the TV series?
Okay.
This is going to be produced for both NBC and UK's Sky Living. Which I guess is one of the UK channels.
Okay.
It's by the team who brought us Downton Abbey.
Oh.
And it stars Jonathan Rhys Meyers in the lead role.
You know who he is?
Henry VIII in The Tudors.
Angry Henry VIII.
Angry Henry VIII.
You know what? I think it's interesting. A short, stocky Dracula doesn't really work for me, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Here we go. Let's read the brief description. Let's see. It's being described as Dangerous Liaisons meets The Tudors. The story will
because
be set.
Jonathan Rhys Davies
is in it, apparently. The story will be set in the 1890s.
Well, at least that's good.
Dracula arrives in London, posing as an American entrepreneur who maintains that he wants to bring modern science to Victorian society.
Steampunk!
Yep. In reality, he hopes to wreak revenge on the people who ruined his life centuries earlier, but falls hopelessly in love with a woman who seems to be a reincarnation of his dead wife.
Steampunk Dracula.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking it's going to fall into.
Steampunk Dracula, starring Jonathan Rhys Meyers or whatever.
Steampunkula.
Steampunkula.
All right. The Hobbit. Uh-huh. 3.
No.
All right. So
squashed.
By the studios.
Right.
Right. Although I thought it was Peter Jackson that squashed it.
Peter Jackson said Hobbit 3 without me.
No, he did not. Apparently, Peter Jackson. Now, this is all a lot of speculation, right? But Peter Jackson apparently has enough material that was shot that to possibly stretch into a third film.
There's no way.
A source close to the production.
Oh, here we go.
A ubiquitous clandestine informant says, if we're going to do it, we have to make the decision soon. It's strongly driven by the filmmaker's desire to tell more of the story. It's about taking the chance to tell more of the incredible tale with the cast we have assembled.
Right. So it's about taking 10 pages and making it into 100.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Two films.
So,
enough.
You know, we already have The Unexpected Journey and There and Back Again.
He wants to make another movie? The Silmarillion.
Which he's already said somebody else owns the rights to, which is would prevent him from doing it.
Well, of course somebody else owns the rights to The Hobbit. It's being made.
Well,
ridiculous.
What do you want me to tell you? I'm just...
The Silmarillion. How about the Book of Lost Tales? How about any of the Christopher Tolkien discovery
works? No. Christopher Tolkien stuff does not count.
No, Discovery.
Oh.
They discover the the my father started this and I'm finishing it on a scrap of paper. Yeah. He wrote Dwarf Silmarillion and now Christopher Tolkien is finishing it.
My father discovered this while dropping logs one afternoon on a Sunday.
Exactly.
After a cask of wine.
So the paper, the little scrap of paper he found read, the Dwarf Silmarillion, but it was torn off at the edge. And then the other edge of the piece of paper probably said, is the worst idea since the Silmarillion.
Should never be written.
Exactly. I will never be written by me. Also yeah. Could have been
exactly
part of that paper.
Exactly.
Yuck.
All right, how about we talk about that Superman trailer?
Yeah.
The
so what's the next
one?
Story?
The full trailer.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I know exactly why it got railed at Comic-Con, because it stunk.
Yeah, I'm still not in love with it. I've heard...
And can I just
ask... This is not my opinion, okay. But I have heard more positive feedback to this versus the teasers that were released.
Unbelievable.
Now, this is the full trailer that was released at Comic-Con, but it is not before The Dark Knight Rises.
I wasn't aware that they had brought John Woo into the production to do the cape work. With the billowing, you know, the billowing cape.
The cape almost looks like it's...
too much cape.
A separate entity.
Yeah.
Like it's like another symbiote.
It's like his sidekick.
Yeah. It's like Spawn's cape.
Boy and his cape. Yeah. It's ridiculous. The trailer was terrible.
I think that my favorite comment regarding the trailer is when the trailer first started, I thought this was a trailer for the Deadliest Catch movie.
Yeah, and no, and there was another one I heard.
Because he's
I
on a remember. Fishing boat.
Yeah, yeah. There was another one too. Yeah, on a fishing boat, but they're in Kansas.
Not anymore. Oh.
Anyway, yeah, awful. The movie is going to tank really bad. And all this is going to do is, I think, this is, well, considering what just happened with Batman.
Yeah.
And considering that they're going to probably be in no rush to put this movie out now anyway. A reboot of Batman. And that Green Lantern was a dismal failure.
Right.
And now very likely so will Superman be. I don't really think that they're going to, you know, run out and do that Justice League movie anytime soon, don't you think?
No, they're going to do that. They're going to do that Catwoman movie. Did you hear this?
No.
That is the speculation and rumor. Now, I don't know if this is based on something that happened in the film, which
Can't
I have
be.
Not seen, which I have not seen yet. But in an interview with Anne Hathaway, she said she would not do it unless it was set. I don't think she says... Unless Christopher Nolan directed it. I
right.
think she says if it was within the world that he created.
Right.
Was her quote. Which, right. not going to happen.
Not right? going to happen. Yeah, so. No. And especially if you've seen Dark Knight Rises, you know that.
I have not.
You know, Catwoman actually turns out to be a man. So
nice.
Did
nice.
You not know that?
No.
Is that a spoiler for
that
you?
That is a spoiler.
Oops, sorry about that.
Catwoman also Lionel. All
right. No. It's, no, never mind. Just, you'll see. No, you'll
cat dong.
You'll see.
Not neutered.
Kind of a little awkward moment for Bruce Wayne, but you'll see
when he woo. All right. Anyway, let's take that first break.
Okay, OG, we'll take our first break and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 256. Insert non-offensive title here.
Hey, OG. Hey, Kev. This is On a Box on Twitter. I was just curious what you thought of Marvel's last panel at San Diego Comic-Con, specifically two things. Them messing with, indirectly, the origin of Spider-Man with this new Alpha thing, and what you thought of the comments that the writer had about Amazing Spider-Man number 700 and the big shakeup that's going to happen and everything in between. Talk to you later.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 256. Insert inoffensive title here.
Non-offensive.
Damn.
I don't believe inoffensive is a word, is it?
I don't know.
I believe non-offensive
is inoffensive.
The nomenclature.
Whatever.
Let's talk about that voicemail.
Sure.
So Hotbox from where?
On a box. Hotbox is what you did in the studio 2 weeks ago.
I'm sure he said his name was Hotbox.
On a Box is a fella on the Twitter.
He's and on a box on the Twitter.
In the interwebs.
Gotcha. So he's talking about the big shakeup over at Marvel with regards to Spider-Man, not to be confused with the big shakeup over at Marvel where they're canceling all their books and restarting them like DC did.
Right. Which they're not actually doing, but we'll talk about that in a second.
All
right.
So the Spider-Man, OG, give us an overview of this Spider-Man thing that he's talking about.
The Spider-Man thing is Alpha. It's this character that they're going to be introducing. So Peter is no longer working at the Bugle. Peter is now working at a science lab. A young man, much like Peter, is at the lab.
Guess what happens?
Wrong place, wrong time.
And he becomes the Lizard.
Spider-Man sidekick is what they're saying.
Right.
How that jerks around the Spider-Man origin story, I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's,
I mean, it jerks around the Spider-Man story in general.
They're doing it again.
Well, you know, I think if it does anything, it goes down the dangerous road, which Marvel has walked down before, of kind of taking away the uniqueness of Spider-Man. You know, the one thing, I mean, about almost all superheroes is that they're, or even supervillains, is that there is a circumstance that creates them and makes them what they are.
Right.
That makes them unique and different from the guy a town over.
Right.
Who had something special happen to him. Right. So if this is too closely related to Spider-Man's origin, a la he gets bit by a radioactive spider, well, then it's just kind of
stupid. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for a few years until the student starts fighting the master. Alpha versus Spider-Man.
Didn't they already do that with Robin?
Everyone?
With Robin once or twice?
With everyone that's ever been a sidekick?
Right.
Ever?
All right, but
Marvel sucks.
Since we're talking, we'll
no,
see.
No, they do.
We
said we were going to talk about some of that Comic-Con comic news.
Yeah, we're going to do that right now.
I know that not a lot of people are expecting comic book news to come out of Comic-Con, but there was some.
Newsarama did a lengthy interview with Axel Alonso about Marvel Now. What I'm saying is probably the most significant Marvel news to come out of Comic-Con, because there was a bunch of things here and there, is probably anything related to Marvel Now.
So Quesada Light said what?
He said a lot of things, and I'll actually post a link to the full interview. But Newsarama did ask, so the Marvel Universe is different as a result of this event. Though you've been clear that it's not a reboot. Axel Alonso replies, absolutely not. No, this is the next chapter in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Like I said, this is not a reboot.
Hey, Axel, Heroes Reborn.
Hold on. Let me get there. We don't go back in time or into the future or to an alternate universe. Earth isn't transformed into square or an oblong. None of that type of stuff happens. What happens is, events compel the Avengers and the X-Men to rethink themselves as organizations. Now I'm reading the exact quote from Axel Alonso.
Good.
Who they are, what they stand for, and how they operate. For one team, that starts with new leadership and a new challenge to that leadership. For the other team, it means rethinking the philosophy of how it operates and how it is composed, and dealing with the loss of a major character who must embark on a new mission that requires he go elsewhere. So there you go. So it's not a reboot, per se. It's a change. Let's see what else. Let's see what else I can find in here that was interesting. No, this is not in any way a reaction to the New 52. Are you done snoring now? Here you go. You'll like this quote.
Huh? What?
Our bread and butter are the people who go... This is, again... let me read Newsarama's question so it's in context. The talking points of Marvel Now provided to the press mention new readers a good deal. How much is reaching out to a new audience part of the goal of what you're doing here? Axel Alonso replies, our bread and butter are the people who go to the comic stores every Wednesday, and Marvel Now respects them and the investment they've made emotionally and financially in the Marvel Universe. That said, we want lapsed readers. The guy who likes, say, Captain America, but doesn't know where to start. To know this is a great place to jump on. And of course, we want the stories to be accessible to anyone who saw a Marvel movie or heard the buzz about Marvel Now. How many of those people are out there? Well, with the digital media, we have a better chance than ever to find out. It's just a couple of clicks away. So, you know, it's
terrible.
Look, I'm not saying I'm in love with it. I think my interest is picked. As terrible as this sounds.
You mean peaked?
Peaked, yeah. As terrible? No, picked.
No, it's peaked, sir.
Picked, P-I-Q-U-E-D? That's peaked? You've picked my interest?
No, it's peaked. You've peaked my interest.
Okay. I always thought it was picked.
If it's picked, give our GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
And tell me I'm wrong. I can take it. And for that matter, you can leave a question or a comment or anything else over the GVM line. And just like the young man who started the segment today, Hotbox,
on a box,
you could hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I almost would prefer a reboot. I know that sounds crazy, but a reboot, I think, would give them the opportunity to legitimately, potentially fix some of the problems that they've made.
Did you say there was a quote in there about it not being
I said that already.
A result of 52?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would almost prefer it was a reboot because it would give them the opportunity to maybe make some corrections to the things that we feel are mistakes, as opposed to putting whipped cream on dog shit. DC.
Wow.
Look, I'm going to give it a try. There's a bunch of new books. I will be picking up several of those new titles.
Two.
I will pick up Uncanny Avengers. I will pick up Spider-Man. And I'll see what else is out there.
Cap, Daredevil, the end.
All right. Out of the DC comics from San Diego, I think probably the biggest thing to come out of there was New 52 related. Some of the books that are coming.
But we still call it New 52 now that they've passed 52?
I don't know that they've passed 52.
Oh, I thought that they did.
No, because with the cancellation of certain titles
and
the addition of new titles, I think they might still be holding around 52.
Gotcha.
I could be wrong. Of course, we already talked about this on the show before, but Talon is one of the new books that's coming out.
I'll read that.
And apparently, he is going to be... he's going to kind of stay out of a lot of the other stories. They're going to let him breathe on his own for a little bit. So there's that. Phantom Stranger. I don't know who the Phantom Stranger is.
Yes, you is. Yes, you is. Yes, you do. He's got like a suit on and white eyes and a little tiny cape in the back, but his eyes are just white.
Oh, I do know who he is. Speaking of, this just made me think of it, and it's a little off to the side. Have you seen any cosplay pics from San Diego?
No.
There's a Dead Man one that is awesome.
Oh, you should send me that.
But there's also a Gentleman Ghost.
Yeah.
That is amazeballs.
Really?
It's a this guy did a great job. Cool. I will try to find both of those for you and send them to you. Also, another great set to seek out is a whole group that did steampunk DC characters.
Uh-huh.
The one that you should seek out is Steampunk Poison Ivy. I'll leave it at that.
Oh.
Team 7 is coming back.
Ugh.
Do you remember Team 7?
Sure.
It was an old Image book.
Uh-huh.
Jim Lee, I believe, was the one that...
Wrong.
It wasn't Jim Lee?
It was Willis Portacio, wasn't it?
No, Willis Portacio did Wetworks.
And Team 7, I thought.
Did he? I thought it was so. Jim Lee.
Either way.
Well, this and the new character in that book at the time wasn't Deathstroke. It was Dead. I don't know. Anyway,
Deathblow.
Deathblow. Yes. Okay. So the new team for this new book is Grifter, Black Canary. And Deathstroke.
Full integration.
Well. This is supposed to be before who they are now type of book, which if you remember the original Team 7, that was the same thing. Like it was Grifter before he was in Wildcats kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's that. Amethyst, Sword of Sorcery. This is another character
it's a nickel book. You always see them.
Really?
Always. Every nickel box you've ever looked in, there have been issues of Amethyst in there.
It's a female character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just...
If you saw the logo...
book, right?
If you saw the logo, you'd be like, oh my God, yeah.
It's like a Sword and Sorcery type book?
Crap is what it is.
Wow. Let's see.
Trying to capture the girl
bum,
reader.
Bum, bum.
It's exciting let's radio see. When you are...
Superboy Prime?
Oh, okay.
No, not happening.
No.
Stephanie Brown, right? She's coming back, I think, in the Smallville comic book. That's it. It's just a bunch of shit.
Well, way to reinforce about. Our position that comics should be an important part of Comic-Con, OG.
I'm just... Look, comics should be an important part of Comic-Con, but comics have to maintain integrity. Now, I'm not saying that no comics maintain integrity. Certainly, there are awesome independent books coming out. Books coming out of companies like Archaea and IDW.
Very good, sir.
And Image, right? There are some great books. And there are some great mainstream books. The Batman books have been really solid.
Really good.
Okay? But with all of those diamonds...
There had to be some shit.
That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of comics, why don't we just talk about the few that came out this week?
All right, let's do this then.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
The controversial Batman Incorporated number 3.
Which was not supposed to come out, but did.
The return of Matches Malone.
Okay.
Okay. Grant Morrison doing the writing there with Chris Burnham. It's very controversial, so you probably want to go pick it up. And also another Batman book to check out this week, Batman, The Dark Knight, number 11. Greg Hurwitz is writing this one, with superstar yet kind of a douchebag, David Finch.
He's a douche too?
You were there, sir.
Was I?
You were there. Doing the fabulous artwork. I mean, gotta say, I don't know what it is about some of these guys who do maybe some of the world's greatest artwork, but they cannot be personable people, so I don't get it. But definitely check that out. They are phenomenal. OG, did you have additional books to add to that list?
No, actually, I did not this week.
Okay. And not to take
Dark
up time.
Knight was the only thing I bought this week. So
I also wanted to mention that The Sixth Gun, Volume 3, I believe it is, came out. Now, for some reason, I didn't exit my retailer with that book. But I paid for it, so that's going to be a phone call. But I did manage to exit with a really interesting book called Whatever Happened to the World of Tomorrow,
oh.
A graphic novel by Brian Fies, author of Mom's Cancer, which I'm not sure of either. Described as a multi-decade cross-generational story that leaves us all longing for the tomorrow that never came. So let me see if there's an actual description. I don't see that there's an actual description, but oh, wait. Whatever happened to the world of tomorrow? Please, been there for a long time. It's a long way to follow up to Mom's Cancer. It tells the story of a boy's relationship with his father, spanning the period from the 1939 World's Fair to the last Apollo space mission in 1975. It depicts an optimistic and ambitious era fueled by industry, engines, electricity, rockets, middle class, pop culture, and the atom bomb. So, wow, I'm going to have to get Mom's Cancer now to go with this, I guess.
The prequel?
But sure look, it's that's what it is. It's kind of exploring that whole...
Looks like a little like Tintin.
I think just the design, but I think it's yes. Really... You know what? This smacks of books like Blankets...
Yes, love Blankets.
Right, and books like that, like Sparks.
Sparks,
to a, maybe
book.
A lesser extent. But so check that out. Who put this thing out? It's going to run you only $15. I really got to get Mom's Cancer now, I guess, because so far what I've read of this, I've really enjoyed. Let's see. I'm looking for a place where you can check this out. Abrams Comic Arts, which is an imprint of Abrams. AbramsComicArts.com, A-B-R-A-M-S, ComicArts.com. So check that out. And that's very exciting stuff. I'm looking very, very forward to reading that book.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
DVDs this week. There are only two.
Okay.
That I feel are appropriate to mention.
Okay.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, Season 1 on Blu-ray.
Okay, so let's talk about this. They've actually, I was reading about this, they have gone back in and they have redone the effects in their entirety.
okay,
to be high def, because the original renderings of the special effects were not in HD.
Okay.
So apparently, and they've laid it over the top of the originals. So apparently they look fantastic.
Nice.
I'm definitely going to be getting it.
Wait for the whole set to come out.
It's, yeah, but the rumor is that's not going to happen.
Really?
So now I'm wondering. They did it last time. So now I'm wondering.
Wasn't that the big green box set?
The big green box set, yeah. Which I might be Dunsel at this point.
Yeah, why not?
You know? Useless.
Game of Thrones, the complete first season, yeah, also out on Blu-ray.
Now, is that the first season that's out on Blu-ray?
Yes.
Okay. I thought the first season had already come out. I thought this might be the second season.
No, this is the complete first season.
Okay.
You would think that season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Is this a reissue of some sort?
I don't know.
No, this says it's season one.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, you would think that they would want to put out two, because, well, three is still a bit off. So who knows? Maybe they'll rush season two for Christmas.
Maybe.
And then season three will come out.
Spring.
Yeah.
OG, are you looking forward to the next season?
Of Game of Thrones?
Of Game of Thrones?
Of course.
Why is that?
Because it's a great show. It's fun and it's sword and sorcery. Boobs.
Oh, I'm sorry, OG. I hate to interrupt you.
That is the
D&D update music, which means it must be time for our D&D update of the show.
How come they didn't steal this one?
What do you mean?
How come the thieves didn't steal the D&D bit?
I have no idea.
These are rude.
Well, let's talk about what this is.
Terribly
this is,
rude.
This is actually pretty exciting stuff.
Sure.
So,
I've heard about these.
You know Gary Gygax?
He's that guy.
Dead guy.
He's dead.
Yeah.
His ashes and some dice, right?
I don't believe. Is that true? Oh my God, that would
crushed
be creepy.
Crushed it up and put it in some D20s?
That would be creepy.
I'd buy one.
The father of role-playing games, they're trying to honor him with a memorial statue in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Where what takes place, OG? Go.
I have no idea.
Gen Con.
Oh, Gen Con, right. I should know.
So
that.
Where Gen Con takes place, they'd like to put a statue, a memorial statue of Gary Gygax. So in the realm of wanting to help do that, I guess, the folks at Wizards of the Coast have reissued Gary Gygax's first three books.
Right.
The D&D Player's Handbook and two others, the Monster Manual and the DM, the Dungeon Master's Guide.
All right.
Right. They've re-released these books. I believe they were, I know the Monster Manual was 77. The Player's Handbook was,
wow, really?
78. Yeah.
Oh.
The first time, sir? The first time they were released.
Oh.
And the DM guide, I guess, was 79.
So how much are they now?
What do you mean?
That's
price-wise?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what they are. They've re-released it. They have these awesome, like, I don't, is that leather cover? I'm not even sure. Pages are gold gilded, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not leather. It's like a faux something.
Yeah, but it's like really nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's really, really nice. And it's got a little bit of the original artwork on the front. But they have completely digitized, updated. I heard, and I can't confirm this, that they have actually recreated the entire inside.
I just thumbed through the handbook.
Yeah.
It looks pretty damn close.
Looks pretty damn close, right?
So
how,
prices,
how does
yeah.
this, how does it matter? Well, I'm gonna read you the little tag here.
All right.
This is about the Player's Handbook. It says, originally released in 78, the anxiously awaited Player's Handbook was the second hardcover rulebook published for the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. In 1983, all three first edition core rulebooks were re-released with new cover artwork. So what was the original cover artwork? Because I thought I had the original versions of these books.
Well, let me ask this, because this is what I I'm not sure, but okay. I'll try to look it up. Is it odd that they went with Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and not just straight up Dungeons & Dragons?
No, because it was Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Was it?
The
box? I thought, was it always Advanced Dungeons? I thought Advanced Dungeons & Dragons was like the second incarnation.
No.
I thought the original box was just Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, and I think this stuff kind of got into the advanced realm, if you will. So, to help honor the memory of the work of Gary Gygax, we have created, this is not us at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, but Wizards of the Coast have created limited edition premium covered reprints of his original three tomes. Your purchase of each of these monumental books helps support the Gygax Memorial Fund, established to immortalize the, quote, father of role-playing games with a memorial statue in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So we are fully behind that maneuver, or that move, rather. And we think that if you are a D&D fan, you'll want to pick these books up anyway, because I'm sure yours, if you have originals, are old and ratty.
Okay, so the 1978 release of the Player's Handbook had a wizard on the cover.
Really?
Yep.
Well, so considering this was...
I'm guessing that...
Do you have that picture?
I'm guessing that the 83 release...
Is the one that we all know?
Is the one that we all know.
With them picking the jewel eye out of the thing? That's not right. That's not right. That's not 77.
It says 1978.
The original version of that book was 78, but that was not the cover. That art is way too good. I think there's something wrong with this tag. Because that, as far as I know, is the original cover. The book is the one of the thieves prying, well, thieves, the men prying the jewel eyes out of the statue.
All right, so this, here's another one that's the one we all know.
Right.
That says 78 was that cover.
Right.
So maybe this was 83?
That would be, yeah.
No, this says it's 78 too.
There's no way that's 78. The original version of that book was 78.
Let's see. Publication.
Don't forget, they just re-released it with new cover art in 83.
I know.
That's got to be the 83 one.
It says 78.
That's the contents were 78, sir.
I'm telling you, the publication date says 78.
Right. So, and if you look in one today, I bet you this one says 78 too.
Probably says originally published in 1978.
Yeah. I'm looking.
This doesn't say originally. This just says 1978. What was the year of the second release?
83.
Let's look up.
I'm looking. I don't see publisher information. Anywhere,
okay.
If I'm being
so
honest.
So this is what I'm seeing for 83.
That's the box.
That's not the box. That's a book. That's two different books.
Those are the books that came inside the box, sir. That's the contents of the red box. I promise you. I think we're dwelling way too long on this topic.
Anyway.
The point is that these fabulous books are out. I don't think I have a price on them, though. Or I'm lying. $34.95 for the Player's Handbook.
Okay.
Which I don't recall if that... I don't recall if that's a...
That's not a bad price.
$44.95 for the DM guide.
That's about right, because that's always bigger.
And the littlest book is also $34.95, the Monster Manual.
All right, so here's why this is good.
Go.
Because it's Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Unbroken.
Which you're never, ever going to get again,
Unbroken.
That's right.
It almost makes me want to play.
Almost.
Almost.
I do want to play. I do want to play.
I think that I would be happier playing this game in this incarnation.
Friend of the show, Pete Abrams.
Than in the Modron incarnation.
Friend of the show, Pete Abrams.
Yes.
SluggyFreelance.com.
I know who he is.
SluggyFreelance.com.
Sluggy.net.
Is that what it is?
I believe so, yes.
Google Sluggy Freelance. That guy's been on us to play for 3.5 years. And we have been promising to play, and we just never get it together. Can this be the year that we do that?
Well, you know.
I think we rolled characters once.
No.
Yes, we did.
That was when we were going to make it. We were going to play an Eberron campaign.
We're still going to play an Eberron campaign. It's just a question of what rule set we're going to. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play fucking GURPS.
And that was a mishmash of people that rolled players that day.
That was, yeah.
It's a mishmash of people that rolled players that day.
It certainly was, sir. But I really think that we should get something together. So I think I'm going to make that a priority for the summer.
All right, let's do this.
Geek Stuff, product reviews.
Product.
Only one thing this week.
Well, you know, it must be the Fortnite because Eagle Moss.
It seems like we have one of these a week, though.
No, it's a Fortnite.
It's a Fortnite
every
over
two
there.
Weeks.
But I feel like over here.
No,
it's
every 2 weeks. Eaglemoss.com/DC-chess will let you know all about tonight's a product, which is Poison Ivy, who is a black pawn in their ever-increasing Batman DC chess set. She is number 9 in the group. They run about $16 or so, a beautifully sculpted figure. So, OG, tell me what's different about this one.
Go. Is the box that she's in different?
No.
I don't know.
Well, what's you notice that they have the book,
yes,
which gives you lots of graphics on the right inside, tells you about the character, tells you about right the chess piece.
Right.
Okay, anything you're noticing about the chess piece, sir?
Oh, the base is different.
Right. So,
why?
Because she is a pawn.
Oh, so
she's on a lower
on
base.
She's not on that epic base.
And it's brilliant because you can see all the characters.
Right.
Because they're on two different levels. So the back row.
Right.
Right. Is all on elevated bases, if you will, where the pawns are on smaller ones. Brilliant. Right. Another brilliant maneuver by Eagle Moss. Check them out, as I said earlier, over at eaglemoss.com/DC-chess. And you can see all of the figures they're going to be doing over there. Every fortnight. Oh, you know what, by the way? Not on. Oh, no, there it is. Every fortnight at your news agent.
Nice. Who's next?
Can we like steal that?
No.
As the tagline for our show?
I don't think so.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, every fortnight at your news agent?
No, why would we want to do it every other week?
I don't know, because it's there's a lot of reasons why we want to do it every other week, but that's not the point.
All right, the most important thing to come out of this segment,
yes,
is that Blue Healer and Pervert Ken need to now go out and buy 2 more chess pieces.
That's true. And the Poison Ivy one is sculpted beautifully, of course. Yeah, it's exciting. I get more and more excited about the fact that I'm one day going to be able to look at this whole group together on a nice board with all my books bound in a nice binder thing that's coming out. It's really, really going to be nice, and I'm very, very excited about it.
And before we take our final break,
oh,
we have a new sponsor.
A sponsor, you say?
That's right. This is Agent 88, the web series. This is a Kickstarter project.
Uh-huh.
With a mere 14 days left to go,
uh-huh,
and a hefty amount of money they need to raise.
What is Agent 88, sir?
It is a dark action comedy, the story of the world's deadliest assassin, an 88-year-old British woman. It's a shoot-'em-up kung fu romp. That's what it says.
Wow.
Look. I'm going to post a link to this, right?
Okay, do it.
But if you go to the Kickstarter,
uh-huh,
.com and right, you look up Agent 88, you will find the page.
Okay.
It looks fun as hell.
Okay.
It makes me want to watch it.
Is there a little trailer there or something that people can see?
There is like a little preview trailer thing that they have to put together for the project.
Okay.
So you definitely should check it out. Cameos in this include Kevin Eastman, Michael Davis, director of Shoot 'Em Up.
Uh-huh.
Jason Charles Miller, who's a musician for Godhead. I'm not familiar with that band.
Okay.
And Kevin... All right, you're gonna spell this one for you're gonna pronounce this for me. I'm gonna spell it.
Go.
Grevioux.
Grievous.
Sure. He worked on Underworld and Frankenstein.
Okay.
So
Grevioux.
So yeah, absolutely. You know, like most Kickstarter projects, different reward levels.
Uh-huh.
I believe the lowest level on this is $10. That gets you like a thank you.
Ooh.
Right. $18 gets you a digital download of the pilot episode. There's so many different projects.
They can check it out, right?
There are also mini-mates. There are exclusive Agent 8 mini-mates.
Oh my God.
That you can get with this project depending on your pledge level.
Wow.
So you should go over to the Kickstarter page. Uh-huh. I will post the link.
Do that.
Check out Agent 88. Pledge. Support the project.
Right.
It looks really fun.
Agent 88.
I'm excited. I want to check it out.
Definitely. Agent 88. Go and check that out at Kickstarter.com, right?
Yeah, Kickstarter.com. And then it's / yada yada. Just search out Agent 88 or
okay,
click on the link over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com and support this project. It's got 14 days left.
Nice.
And it needs a decent amount of change.
OG, with that, we're going to take our final break and we'll be right back with the wrap up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. episode 256. Insert non-offensive title here.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey, gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 256.
Superpower collectibles.
Insert unoffensive title here.
Superpower collectibles.
Superpower collectibles did not hurt anybody in a movie theater.
That's true. And in fact, they can do nothing but help you.
Help you and your wallet.
And your wallet. Go over to Superpower Collectibles, pick out some stuff. You know you're going to buy some stuff anyway, so why not buy it from Superpower Collectibles? Use the coupon code BIGKEV.
That's right.
And you will receive $10 off of any order of 50 or more. And orders over $100, if you use the coupon code BIGKEV, you get free shipping.
That's correct.
So there you go. And you know what? You do that, you're helping out the show. You're helping out the advertiser. You're helping out yourself. You're helping out everybody. So why not check out superpowercollectibles.com? They got it all over there. They got books, statues, collectibles, toys, things. They got it all. Check
Jack
them
Nicholson
out.
As the Joker one scale deluxe figure, 1/6 scale.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
That's that's a recent addition. So check that out and all the collectibles over at superpowercollectibles.com.
I'm gonna buy that R2-D2 Real Action Hero figure. I'm just saying.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about the tragedy, the unfortunate tragedy surrounding The Dark Knight Rises and some of the things that came out of that, the good and the bad. Of course, we talked about the decision made by DC to pull Batman Inc. number 3 and delay it for a month. We talked about The Hobbit 3 not actually happening, is our speculation. Right. Jurassic 4 actually happening with a release of summer 2014. We talked about Dracula, the TV series.
Ugh.
Steampunkula, as we're calling
Steampunk
it.
Steampunk Dracula.
We also talked about, what was that other TV series that we talked about? There was another TV series that was coming. The Supernatural one. The Bones one. The Man and the Woman one. What the hell was it?
Wasn't that Steampunk Dracula?
No. It was the mystery one. The woman one. And the girl. I don't know. I'll find it. We talked about Marvel Now. We talked about the new 52 and what new titles are coming.
We talked about some comic stuff from Comic-Con.
We did talk about some new comic stuff. We talked about... I have to find... Oh, RoboCop. Jackie Earl Haley joining the cast of RoboCop. And I have to find one. What is the show that I'm thinking of? Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
Was the show that I was thinking of. Yep. In DVDs this week, we talked about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Season 1. Blu-ray.
Game of Thrones Season 1.
Yep, there you go. In comics, we talked about Batman The Dark Knight number 11 and Batman Incorporated number 3. We also talked about a trade called Whatever Happened to the World of Tomorrow, which you should check out. In product, we talked about the latest in the Eagle Moss. In the Eagle Moss DC Batman chess. It's just called the DC chess collection, but all the characters.
Gary Gygax edition Dungeons and Dragons book.
Maybe if you could possibly get it all out without stumbling.
No, I had to take a deep breath.
Yeah. Yes, we did talk about the memorial editions helping to create a statue of Gary Gygax in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Editions of his original books, The Player's Handbook, The Monster Manual, and The DM Guide.
Gary Gygax didn't molest no children. That statue gets to stand.
Wow. Hurtful. Too soon. And I think that was it, OG.
I do think that was it. So don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com and participate in all of the fun and exciting things that we have going on. Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, at GeekStuffOG, and at BKGeekStuff on Twitter. Of course, our YouTube channel is also Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Of course, you can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And I think that might be everything.
OG, I will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff as we end all episodes by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music. roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star.